Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, you wonderful, wonderful, dare I say it, beautiful people. It is indeed Sunday, so that means it's time for the Sunday sermon of spookiness. Yes, we do indeed need to talk about ghosts. What a week. It's been a very busy one for myself and the lovely Becca, who won't be joining me today. I won't tell you why. It's a secret. No, it's not really. She's just not joining me. I hope you're all well, but we've had a chock a week. Absolutely manic. Loads going on. Loads of good stuff going on, some bad stuff going on, and some boring stuff going on, really. Big news, though. We're going to have another quiz on Saturday coming. Yes, at 8 p.m. GMT this coming Saturday. Get onto facebook.com/talkaboutghosts, and we will be doing a live quiz. It'll be a bit more general knowledge, still with a paranormal slant, if you will. But we will be doing it live and in your face, yes. So we can all have a bit of humour. The last three have been brilliant. Everyone's been dead good who's took part. So if you've got any questions that you want us to ask, bear in mind, there is a bit more general knowledge. So you can send them into contact@talkaboutghosts and we will read them out. Yes, same goes for any spooky stories. This episode is going to be brilliant. And what I mean by that is brilliant. I'll say it again, brilliant. And I mean that in a spooky way because I've been wanting to do a really, really creepy, not creepy, creepy's the wrong word. But as I've mentioned on previous shows recently, don't know whether to do with this lockdown thing and the C word situation, but I'm getting a real warm feeling from reading ghost stories, not reading them out loud, you know, just reading them in general or seeing a spooky program. And I can genuinely, it's like a strange little qualia, if you like. I can't really describe the feeling, but it's reminiscent of when I first got into ghosts as a child. It's got that very warm feeling of like, I don't know, like being wrapped in cotton wool, but terrifying cotton wool, if that makes sense. So we're going to try and emulate that today in today's show. So some great news. I received a very nice gift from Becca's stepfather. It was a wonderful gift, a belated birthday gift. It was a signed picture of George Martin, you know, the producer for the Beatles. Absolutely over the moon with it. Now, as you know, I am an acquaintance of the infamous Sir Christopher Jericho, wrestling superstar, musician superstar. And we first got talking due to our love of the Beatles. So I sent him the picture of that and said, I thought you'd appreciate this. Look what I've just got for my birthday. And I didn't realise he had a pay-per-view that night. This was last night. So he was like wrestling all last night. And anyway, he got back pretty much instantly and said, whoa, that's amazing. And then he said, also thought you should know, he said, the Aleister Crowley episode that we've done has just reached 100,000 downloads. He said, which is huge. That was his words, not mine. So that was a bloody lovely day I had yesterday. You know, you have those days where sometimes you're like, this has been a crap day, nothing good's happened. But I got two lovely little things happen yesterday. Yes, so yesterday was fantastic. Today is going to be great because we're going to get spooked out together. Oh, I must tell you as well, two little bits of information. Number one, I've downloaded an app to my phone. I know that you're thinking, why are you telling me this, Kevin? But I'll tell you why. It's called a motion sensor. Now, it was a fiver or $4.99. And basically, it's a video camera that only starts recording when it senses movement. Now, you may be wondering, well, that's all very well, Kevin, but it's slightly boring for a podcast. A podcast. And I say to you, no, it's not boring at all because it means I can now start to leave it set up upstairs in our haunted flat and see if we can record anything and therefore get some evidence. Yes. So I'm very excited about that. The second thing is because I class myself as a slightly creative individual, don't you know, all windswept and interesting. Therefore, I've decided, I often, in terms of creative outputs, if I see something, I think, could I do that? Could I have a go at doing that? And whenever I ask that question, I think, of course you can. Anybody can. You're a human being. If you can do anything, and this is a message to everyone out there, you can do anything that any other human being can do. You might not be able to do it as well as them, but no one's Superman on this world, or Superwoman, to be all equal. But no one is. So never let the fact that you've never done something before put you off. So what I'm getting to is, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do a short horror film. I thought, can I? Or would it just be stupid? Why would it be stupid? Just do it. It's as simple as that. You know, you're a long time dead. So that's what we're going to do. I've scripted it out. me and Becca are going to film that over the period of next week. It won't be funny because it's not meant to be funny. It's meant to be a horror, but I think it's going to be very good. I've attempted some of the shots already and some of the special effects, he says in inverted speech marks, but I think it's going to be pretty scary. If it's done right, the way I visualise it in my head, the only thing that you'll have to do when you watch it is you'll have to suspend your disbelief because obviously, you know, it's me and Becca, but we're going to have to give ourselves different names, I suppose. And it'll probably be presented like a found footage thing, you know, like YouTuber Bob Blogs went missing. This was the thing we found in his flat. Bum, bum, bum. But I think it'll be dead scary. Or at the very least, slightly entertaining. Which isn't that the thing everybody aims for? Slightly entertaining. Yes. They should give Oscars out for slightly entertaining. Anywho. So, firstly, I want to say thank you to all of our wonderful patrons and an apology. We had a patron last week by the name of Lindsay Cullen. And I sung out Lisa Cullen. Now, what's doubly embarrassing about that is that she actually comes from my hometown. Yeah, she comes from Two Dogs Fighting Highton. Two Dogs Fighting is what we in Liverpool call Highton, Two Dogs. It comes from an old poem, which apparently is Highton, Highton, Two Dogs Fighting, One a Black and One a Whiten. Yes, apparently so. There you go. A little bit of historic Highton culture for you there. So I do apologise to Lindsay Cullen, and therefore I will be re-singing your name in this week's Patreon thank you song. So we've had just the one Patreon sign up this week, brand new, and their name is, let me get it, hold on, Kim Jones. So Kim Jones and Lindsay Cullen, and I said Lisa again then. I want to thank you via the medium of song. Don't forget, guys, Patreon's literally in this stage of where we're all at employment-wise. It's keeping the show afloat. I'm furloughed from work. Becca's self-employed in the entertainment industry and literally has no work. She's not eligible for any bailouts or any grants. And it's a bit of a shocker for her. Just when you start your own company, it's a kick in the teeth. So the Patreon side of things, not only is it keeping the show afloat, it's keeping us afloat as well. So I sincerely want to thank you for it. Now, don't forget, obviously, we're not the only one going through hardship, so don't feel obliged to sign up to Patreon. And if any of the patrons are listening and thinking, actually, I need to jack it in, I understand that. So, but I do want to thank the ones who are doing it, because we were looking at finances and I was saying, you know, we need to start cutting out things which aren't essential. And in truth, it's hard to say a podcast's essential when you look at what it costs to run, just being perfectly honest. However, that said, we enjoy doing it. People clearly like it. And the Patreons are good enough to help keep it going. So a sincere thank you during these times to you wonderful guys. And to everyone who listens, you know, no pressure to join a Patreon. That all said, if you'd like to join Patreon and you do get extra content each week, I'll be recording some spooky stories after this solely for the Patreons. You go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. In the meantime, I do have to sing a song to the wonderful Lindsay Cullen and Kim Jones. So this is for you. The guitar's out. Here we go. I called you Lisa, and I was wrong. I'd like to apologize via the medium of this song. 'Cause your name's Lindsay, yes it is. Signed up to Patreon last week and I got your name wrong. Sorry about that. You're not on your own though, 'cause here comes Kimberly Jones. She has also signed to Patreon. And after this episode has been and gone, you both can go and log on to Patreon and you'll have another episode. Ooh. Ended it on a seventh. Dodgy vocals there though, Kevin. Bloody hell's bells. So there you go. That was for Lindsay and for Kim. I do hope you enjoyed that. You probably didn't. You didn't even enjoy it because I wasn't on form there. However, shall we have a week in weird? I believe we shall. Yes, it's indeed time for Week in Weird, where we look at some of the weird things that have been taking place this week in the universe. I mean, in the world, really. We don't get news from other planets yet. Anyway, guess who's back in the news? That's right, it's none other than the King of Pop himself, Oh, that's Michael Jackson, eh? It's not him. No, it's Michael Jackson. Elvis Presley it is. It's Elvis Presley, the king, yes. His second cousin, Danny, reckons that the king, Elvis Presley, visited him as a ghost whilst he was in lockdown. Yes, he said, "This is true. Last night I was sitting here in this spot," he says on a web feed. "I was watching some stuff on TV and I got kind of tired. So I turned off the TV and of course I put some Elvis music on and I'm sat there listening to it. All of a sudden, it was like a hand touched me on my right shoulder. I freaked out, jumped up and got off the couch. There was goosebumps. I mean, every hair on my body was probably standing straight out." Yes. And then he continues, "It really freaked me out. And the first thing I thought of as I looked over towards the stereo, because Elvis was playing, and I just got the feeling, it's Elvis. I can't say it really was anything, but to me, it was almost like maybe Elvis, or maybe it was my grandmother, or maybe both." Now, he feels that this is newsworthy. He continues to say, "I'm just telling you the truth, and I'm still freaked over the whole thing. It actually happened, and things like that I do believe in, and it made me feel better, so there." So there you go. Elvis's second cousin, Danny, had someone touch him on the right shoulder whilst listening to Elvis. He believes it was Elvis. Or was it Elvis and his grandmother having a shoobity-bop-bop, bebop gold dance-a-thon? I guess we'll never know. So if you have any encounters with the king, do let us know. In the meantime, that was this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
I love that this week's Week in Weird, because it makes me think, at what point do you think, I mean, very early on, clearly, if this happened to the guy in lockdown, very early on, did he ask the question, "What's the number for the newspaper?" Because otherwise I wouldn't know about it. Can you imagine if I went upstairs to Becca and went, "I've just been listening to Nirvana, right? And I think Kurt Cobain just prodded me in the back." She'd say, A, he didn't. B, if you genuinely think that, we may need to get you some help. If I therefore then went, "So give me the number for the paper, because I'm going to tell them." She'd be like, "Well, I need to leave, officially. Finish our relationship, take the neighbour's cat, and do one, because you, sir, are clinically cuckoo." Yeah, so there you go. That was Week and Weird. Wow. But we do have some amazing stories. I have teased the first part of this show throughout the week on the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts episodes. And that is because Becca got me a wonderful book for my birthday called 50 Real Ghost Stories by MJ Wayland. And I read the blurb out to you through the week. I'll read this out again because, don't worry, I'm only going to share one story from this book because it's somebody else's work. I'm going to share others from it on the Patreon because less people listen to that. And also, I am kind of advertising his work for free, technically. But there's a reason why I'll be sharing the story that I'm sharing, which will all become apparent very shortly. Anyway, the blurb on the back says, "A real ghost story should never end perfectly. That's my rule of thumb. After investigating ghost experiences for nearly 30 years, I realised that the finely polished stories told by storytellers and ghost walkers were exactly that, polished. In polishing stories, we lose the personality of the haunted and indeed the haunter itself. That is why in my books, research papers and articles, I always maintain the original testaments and facts." Which I really love. I love the honesty of that. And I love the fact that I think we can all agree the best stories are anecdotal, and you know, in terms of their delivery. They shouldn't tie up nicely. He's quite right. It shouldn't be, "And then we opened the floorboards and there was the corpse." It shouldn't be anything like that. It should just be, like what's the famous one, the very famous one? I'm pretty sure it's the Enfield Poltergeist. It just stopped. Do you know what I mean? There was no, that like somebody came in to do a cleansing apparently, but then that was it. It wasn't like, I don't know, there was no resolution, do you know what I mean? It just stopped, and as they should. So anyway, what I'm going to do is the reason why I want to read the story out here will become evident now. So I'm going to be telling you a story that was told to me in a place of work where I used to work about 15 years ago. And I've always battled with this story in truth because it sounded too far-fetched. However, I've then read the story in this book and it's amazing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out the story, not from any script or something, just from my head, but I will throw the music behind it because it is a ghost story. And then I'll read the story from the book and then I'll discuss it with you. And I think you'll understand why I got very excited reading the story. Okay, so first story is from me. Yes. And this was told to me by a lady that I used to work with over 15 years ago in a little town of Liverpool called Kirby. And it goes like this. So this lady was in her 50s when we worked together. And she was into the paranormal and ghosts, etc. And she knew that I was, because I'd asked her if she had ever had any good ghost stories, etc., things like that. And she told me this story that her mother, who I believe, if I remember rightly, she said had dementia, and her sister used to on occasion drive to their father's grave in one of the cemeteries in Liverpool. At this particular church, I can't recall the name of it, but it's a very old church, very old cemetery. And they used to go to it semi-regularly to go and see the dad's grave. One time, they go and visit the grave. And then as they're leaving the cemetery, now, you'll be aware when you leave a cemetery in a car, you go in about 5 miles an hour, if that. And as they're leaving down this gravel path of the cemetery, the mother starts freaking out in the back of the car. And her sister, who's in the passenger seat, turns around to her mother as in to say, what's wrong? Then the sister turns around and looks out of the window ahead of them. And she screams and grabs her sister's leg, who's driving, the woman who's telling me the story, and says, slow down, you're going to hit it. Now, the woman who's telling me the story, who was driving, she can't see anything outside. It's just a completely straight road out of the cemetery. And her sister's going, hit the brakes, you're going to hit this thing. She goes, what are you talking about? And anyway, she's going, why aren't you slowing down? So the woman thinks, you know what? There's nothing here. I'm just going to put my foot down and get off this path. So she puts her foot to the floor, and then she feels like she hit something, although there's nothing there. And the car, she said, felt like it was going through jelly. It was like really slow. And the woman, her sister, had put her head in her hands at this point and was like, you've hit it. But there's nothing there. She comes out the other side of this like jelly environment that she's just driven through. And the car kicks back to life. It's like it jugs forward. So she slams on the brakes and stops. They're all panicking now. So the sister raises her head out of her hands and looks ahead. And she goes, did you not see it? And she says, see what? She says, there was like a 7-foot black figure in the middle of the road. So they look in the rearview mirror. Anyway, the mother's not in the car no more. The mother's sat in the middle of the road and she'd wet herself. They get out and they go over and see her. The mother can't explain what's happening. She's really bewildered. She doesn't know what's gone on. The last thing she remembers, she sat in the back of the car. And they just put her back in the car. And they said they'd never talk about it again and just apparently didn't. However, her and her sister did talk about it more detail later on, a few years on. And the sister said she recalled seeing this like 7-foot tall, black robed figure with like long arms and like a skeletal face, almost like the epitome of death. But the driver of the car, the woman who was telling me the story, said she didn't see a single thing. However, she says it's the spookiest thing that's ever happened. It's the most bewildering thing that's ever happened, because her mother genuinely, I want to say, what's the word? She just trans, there's a word for it, can't think. But she disappeared out of the car and ended up in the middle of the road leading out to the cemetery. And she told me that, and it stuck with me because I could really visualise it. And she then went on to tell me other stories, which I may share at another point. But that's that story. And yes, you'll understand now. Well, you'll soon understand why I've just told you that story. So that was that story. Now, Becca's bought me this book. Now, as I say, that story is always, I've remembered it because it's very visceral and it's very terrifying, but it's also very far-fetched. But it's always stuck in my brain. Now, Becca got me this book for Christmas, for my birthday, called 50 Real Life Ghost Stories. And I'm going to read you out a story from this book now, okay? So this story is called The Russian Ghost. I saw a ghost while I was away on holiday in Russia. I was travelling by coach in a party of 8 to 12 others. We had been travelling most of the day to get to the town of Kostromo in the Golden Ring outside of Moscow. The countryside consists of vast expanses of Siberian silver birch and forests. As we neared the village, I noticed out of the window on my left a graveyard. Standing next to a grave was what I assumed to be a woman in a black cloak, who was a widow, mourning the loss of her husband. It was strange, but not unusual to see this. I noticed that in the graveyard was an orchard of cherry trees. I did not think too much about this and looked away. I then took a glance again over my shoulder. As I looked back through the coach window, the figure had moved and was now stood next to a low wall and the wrought iron gates at the main entrance. The figure was ominously tall, looking much more tall than normal, and took on a threatening presence or shape. I noticed that there was no face in the hood of the cloaked figure. Far more disturbing, though, was that it seemed to be watching me, and its hands were rested upon the top wall. I got a glimpse of its hands. It was not human. The hands and fingers on them were very long, over a meter in length, and they were skeletal, long and bony. As I continued to look back at it, a skull appeared in the hood and two orange eyes looked back at me and grinned at me. I looked away instantly and did not look back, as I figured that it represented death. I thought I must have been imagining things, so I tried to put the whole thing out of my mind and get on with the rest of the holiday. One thing that did strike me as odd was that the graveyard was completely run down and overgrown with long grass. No one had been there in months or maybe years. So what was this figure doing there? I did not think too much about the incident and had more or less forgotten about it. 2 days later, I arrived at a new hotel and had sat down to eat dinner in the main restaurant along with the other Japanese guests. As I ate, I looked up into the corner of the restaurant and it was decorated with pots and other antiques. But what drew my attention was a large wood carving by a Russian artist of a figure from Russian folklore. My blood chilled to the bone, for there was a carving of a hooded figure, a man who looked like a monk. His eyes were black-looking and the arms on the figure were completely outstretched. Its fingers were long and bony and at least over a metre long, comparatively. This was exactly what I had seen in the graveyard. I knew then that what I had seen was indeed real. Now, it doesn't say who that story is from because it's just part of a book. But for me, they are two far too coincidental stories. The only thing, and this is obviously an effing stupid statement to make, or is it? I don't know. The only thing that seems to make sense is they've both seen a similar sort of deity, you know? So, I don't know. You've heard, just as I have, if you've read up on ghosts, like I think we all have, you'll have seen that often there's a thing called, allegedly called, a graveyard guardian, which is the first person buried there that's meant to look over the graveyard. But allegedly they're meant to be like a benign, nice spirit. This doesn't sound like a nice spirit at all, does it? Especially if it's got the ability in the first story to take someone physically out of an object and place them in the middle of the road. But it was just the descriptions of the two things that when I read that story, I got a shiver up my spine because I thought, I've heard this story before, but I've not heard about it in Russia. I've heard about it in Liverpool. And I don't know. It just really got me thinking about, like, you know, is there some sort of, you know, like the way there's like, or they say that there's like ethereal spirits, which are everywhere, you know, they're like water. If you like, they've always been here. These sort of, archaic god-like sort of spirits, if you know what I mean. I'm really explaining this badly, aren't I? But you get what I mean. It's terrifying. And the fact that there was such synchronicity between the two stories really shook me up this week. And I've been dying to tell you that because I think it's bloody terrifying and I hope you agree. If you've got a story, if you've got a story about a giant, lanky shadow in a graveyard, do let me know. Or if you've heard something similar, let me know. Because if it turns out that this is as much of a trope as the Hat Man or a Shadow Man, then we could indeed have discovered our very own supernatural entity here on We Need to Talk About Ghosts. Wouldn't that be great? Be terrifying, I know that much. Anyway, let's have a midpoint. Hooray! Bob Esten midpoint, and midpoint Esten Meinenhausen. So, me and Becca were talking this week, and we think we're going to start releasing some merch. Yes! And what I mean by merch is we're just going to knock together about 5 t-shirts, we think, with different designs on. One, I think, I'll try and put a picture of it up. I've designed it, and I think it's dead funny. Basically, you know, what's that rap film? Something Compton? I don't know where it is. But you know the way it's got like a black, white, and black sort of logo? Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's that, but it says German Midpoint Party, and I love it, and I'm going to get it made. So we think we're going to start putting them on the website for sale. You know, may as well. So that's that information. We're, of course, going to have the fourth quiz this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock. Do send in your questions, please. Some of you already have. Remember that it's a bit of a general knowledge type thing, so we don't need to have them about paranormal activity. But it'd be great if they are, you know. Come see, come ça, as the French would say. So tune in at 8 o'clock on facebook.com/ talk about ghosts for that one. As ever, we do need your stories too. Send them into contact@talkaboutghosts and we will read them out because that's what we do. Also, a big thank you to everybody who wished me a happy birthday this week. Yes, it was my birthday on Monday gone and I had a lovely day. As much as you can have a lovely day in kind of lockdown territory. But yeah, I had an absolutely delightful day. Got some lovely gifts. Got tickets to go and see Half Man Half Biscuits, who are a phenomenal band, in February of next year. Yes, so I had a lovely day. And thank you very much sincerely for all of your lovely messages that you sent through. Didn't have the time to get back to each and every one of you, and I apologise for that. Oh, also, if you've emailed us, this is standard for podcasts. We're running on like about maybe a 4-week behind schedule thing, and that's standard. So if you don't get a response right away, it's not that we're ignoring you. You'll find that you'll get one as I get to your email, because I only tend to look at them when I do the shows, and that's because otherwise I lose where I am in everything. I'll be like, have I read that one? No, I haven't. Why has it said read? And it's because Sunday, generally, when I do the show, that's my admin day for everything to do with the podcast. It takes the full day for me to get in and sort everything out. And to do 2 shows, yes, this and the Patreon one. I hope that you're all well. I hope that you're all having fun, as much fun as you can have in this situation. Lordy, lordy, that would be great if you were. Just take care of yourselves. Be nice to each other. It's not hard. You know what? I've been feeling really emotional today. I don't know what it is. And I did think, you know what? I'm going to say this on the podcast. And then thought, no, don't be daft. And thought, no, you know what? Sod it. I am going to say it. And what I'm going to say is this. Think about this little pearl of wisdom from me, because, you know, who am I? But here we go. Right now, as you're listening to this, this is arguably, in terms of your friends and your current friends and your current family, it's as good as it's going to get. Do you know what I mean? Unless you're going to have babies or whatever and extend your family. But, you know, the people that are, basically what I'm trying to say is the people that are alive in your life now, think about it. Right now, at this minute, they're there. Everything's okay. So when you finish listening to this, give them a call. Just realize the nice that you're in. I know that's, you know, a strange thing to say, realize the nice that you're in. But I decided after I've finished these 2 episodes that I'm going to do, I'm going to send a little text or call out to all of my mates and family and just be like, you know what, right now, no one's dying. We're all okay. It's not going to be like that forever. But right now, I need to like take a step back and appreciate what I've currently got, because it won't be like that forever. Just, that's meant to be a positive message, but bloody hell, didn't it sound morbid? I didn't mean it to. I do apologise. But, you know, try and take the good out of that if you can. It's a true thing. I'm really trying to be very grateful today for everything that I'm currently existing in. Anyway, I should lay off the coffee. I think we've all established that fact. So after this little jingle part now, we're going to go back to the show, back to ghost stories, and this time the reader-submitted stories, which I think are the best. I think we can all agree. The bride is a German German midpoint diva. Anyway, let's get back to the show. Huzzah! And we're back. Now, our first listener story comes in from Anthony from New York. Yes. And he started this in email with a lovely thing where he's offered to put me in touch with Jerry from the Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast, which I think I'm already in touch with him, but anything you can do there, Anthony, thank you very much. But he does also share with us a story, and his story goes thus. I would like to start off by saying that I'm not sensitive, nor do I have any cool paranormal powers, but I've had a few encounters with what I believe to be ghosts. Here we go. Back in the late 90s, I went back to college in Boston, which is a very haunted city. This particular time, my then-girlfriend and I had broken up, and I was working on getting her back, and we went clubbing and drinking. Since we both had a few too many, she let me sleep over, but I was banished to the couch with no exceptions. After saying our goodnights, she went to her room and I went to the couch. I was really sleepy when I felt a hand on my chest. Thinking that it was her, I kept my eyes closed, seeing where this would go. After about 2 minutes, I heard a woman whisper my name and felt their breath on my cheek. It struck me that that was odd because it wasn't her voice, but I thought that maybe I misheard because I was so tired and still a bit drunk. I opened my eyes and there wasn't anyone there. So being the big tough guy, he says in inverted commas, that I thought I was, I ran into her room and jumped on a bed. When we woke up the next morning, she asked why I was in bed with her and I explained why, but she didn't believe me in the slightest. I hope that this isn't just like some sort of ruse where you're like, "Yeah, go and listen to this podcast. He'll tell you what happened." Honestly, it was a ghost. That's why I was in bed with you. Oh. I convinced her that we should go out for breakfast since it was such a beautiful Sunday morning. After we ate, I wanted to stop into a small Catholic church since the Mass was over so I could say a quick prayer. She sat in a pew whilst I said my prayer at the altar rail. As we got up to leave, an old priest showed up out of nowhere, and the first thing he jokingly says was, "Are you two here to get married?" To which she replied with an angry no. The priest goes on to say that she should forgive me because I was really sorry for what I did and that he was sure that I learned. We thanked the father and left the church. Later that week, we had lunch in the same area, and after eating, I wanted to go back to the church and make a small donation. When we get to the church, there was a younger priest there this time, who I asked about the older priest because I wanted to thank him because we'd gotten back together. Well, after describing the older priest, the younger one informed us that he had been dead for a few years and was rumoured to show himself to people who were in need of solace or a pep talk. That's just one of my stories, and take it for what you will, but that's what happened. Thanks for your time, Anthony. Wow. Thanks, Anthony. That story's amazing. Amazing. And I hope you did stay together as well. But I can't believe there, live and in the flesh, we've actually got a story with a young priest and an old priest. Hooray! People with their We Need to Talk About Ghosts bingo cards. Well, it just got a full house there. So thank you, Anthony, for that. But that is terrifying. I like the idea of a elderly priest ghost just being like, did you try and get in bed with her? I think he's sorry. He doesn't seem like a perv. No, he seems like a legit guy, Anthony. Yes, just let him off, will you? Like, go and have breakfast. So I'm glad that that worked out. I'm very glad that you got to see a ghost and it sounds petrifying. So Anthony, please send in more of your stories. If they're as good as that one, I promise you I will read them out. Right, let's get some more. Okay, our next email comes in from Emma Toppin. You may recognise the surname because Emma is our admin, Matt's sister. Yes. And she writes, "Hi, Kevin. Hi. My name is Emma. My brother Matt always bangs on about your podcast and said he's sent some stories to you. I immediately went to listen to what he told you and your listeners, hoping it was nothing embarrassing. Thankfully, there isn't anything too bad in there, though hardly mentioned anything about either of his sisters or brother, the ungrateful git." Ooh, family conflict. That's what we like on the show. Okay, now this will go in with your story from here. "I was also surprised that he didn't mention what our dad did for a living when we were kids. Our dad was an engineer for the Navy from the late 70s to the early 90s. This meant that all four of us went to different schools in places like San Francisco, Portugal, Japan, and so on, depending on where my dad was stationed. Matt, in brackets, the youngest of us four, was quite young and only cared about his guitar and cartoons. He was never interested in seeing what was outside. Me and my sister would often go exploring and see what was going on near to us. Our oldest brother, Jamie, would hang around with Matt and Mum. We were looking around an old church near Balil, near Peniche. It was a beautiful day and the sun was streaming through the trees. We approached the rear of the church. It was beautiful and barren. Behind the church there was a large clearing, no gravestones or wall or anything, but there was a cliff edge looking out to sea. We approached it with caution to look down and take in the view. As we looked down, a calm female voice came from behind and said, 'Careful, dearie.' We both turned around and there was no one there, not a soul in sight. Now, two things about that is that firstly, the voice was English and we were in Portugal. And secondly, there was no one around to say anything. nobody in the church, near the window, hidden behind any kind of bush. Essentially, there was nothing to hide behind. I turned to my sister, and she looked just as shocked as I must have done. I didn't even need to ask if she'd heard it. She just bolted. I followed. When we got home, quicker than normal, and told Mum what had happened, she told us that that was your conscience telling you to behave and not to be foolish. A very typical response from our Catholic mother. And I'll just say, Emma, I'll just jump in there. Being from a Catholic family myself, that does sound like a typical Catholic response. It's like, I was saying this to Becca the other day. My mother, God rest her soul, had this saying that whenever we were laughing as children, and this is just a typical, like, Irish Catholic doom and gloom. If we ever were uncontrollably laughing as kids at something, she would say, it'll all end in tears. And you'd be like, and now as an adult, you're thinking, who sees happy children and says, you're going to be fucking crying soon? But yeah, she didn't say it aggressively. She'd just be like, it'll all end in tears. You know, if you couldn't get your breath laughing. Anyway, God bless you, Catholicism. So a very typical response from our Catholic mother. We decided not to go back and investigate. In fact, let's stay well away from churches and cliffs. About 4 or 5 days later, in the local newspaper, there was an article about a cliff edge collapsing a few days earlier. You can see where this is going. It was the exact area that we were looking over. Behind the church, about 5 metres deep of cliff line, collapsed 110 feet to the beach below. Now, our nan hadn't died at this point. In fact, no woman in our family had passed. So I've no idea who this voice was. My guess would be a guardian angel. But I must embarrass my little brother. He once tried to scare us kids by tapping scary sounds on a tape recorder and then playing it behind a sofa where no one would see it. But Matt ended up scaring himself with his own tape. Thank you for letting you let me share my story. I'm sure they aren't as freaky as Matthew's, but personally they were for me. Also, I'm loving the podcast, and you are my first podcast I've ever listened to. Ah, and I'm a fan already. Thanks, Emma. No, thank you, Emma. What a lovely story. Well, I say lovely story, you know. It is lovely, in fact, that arguably a ghostie has saved your life, quite literally. I like the fact she said, careful, dearie, because if anybody watches, like me and Becca sat through, I forgot what it's called now. Oh, it's got Robert Carlyle in, and he plays Rumpelstiltskin. What's it called? Once Upon a Time. It was a big series, an American series about like fairy tales. But he plays Rumpelstiltskin in it. And in this like strange accent, he says, careful, dearie, I'll cast a spell. So maybe it was Rumpelstiltskin. I doubt it was. But no, thank you, Emma, for that story. That's terrifying. In a lovely way, though. So has anyone else got any of these stories where you're given a warning in your ear? Because I'd like to hear about them. I'm getting really, really, really into my belief levels are going up. Is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know, you know the way, and I'm not going to mention the C word, but if you've heard this, that in lockdown, people are having the weirdest dreams because everybody's subconscious is trying to do something and therefore everyone's having quite visceral dreams. And it's a thing, apparently. Now, I wonder if that's also why my beliefs seem to have gone through the roof. I don't know. But whatever is causing it, I'm loving it. So yeah, I do want to know if you've got any stories about ghosts that have saved your life some way. Or somehow. They don't have to be based on a cliff, but by all means, if you want them to be, they can be. Send them into contact at talkaboutghosts.com. Okay then, guys, I think that'll do it for this episode. I'm just going to read out some lovely correspondence that we've had and some reviews. Yes, let's do that, in fact, while I'm rambling on. Bit of a rambling episode, this one. I do apologise. But we've had an email from our regular correspondent, Lucy White, who sent us in a link for her local newspaper, as she likes to do. And it's very interesting once again. So basically, there's this grave in Somerset. And although we've had lockdown and people haven't been able to leave the house, flowers, fresh flowers keep appearing on it. And apparently, someone took a photo of it to show that these flowers have been placed there. And it's one of these like strange religious-y sort of sites. And it's not the first time, apparently, that the flowers have appeared on the spot in Dartmoor during unlikely circumstances. It says in February this year, when Devon was being lashed by extreme weather, more flowers appeared at the grave, despite floodwater pictured running around the famous mound. Apparently, folklorists say that the flowers are the work of the Piskies, who out of sympathy tend the grave throughout eternity. Now, this grave itself is the last resting place of a lady named Kitty, who was a suicide victim who's thought to have died in the late 18th century. And it's become a well-known landmark on Dartmoor and is the subject of local folklore and several ghost stories. Yes. Back in the late 18th century, an orphan baby was taken into the poorhouse at Newton Abbot. The little girl was named, as was the custom, with a surname beginning with whatever the letter the poorhouse had progressed to, in this case, J. As many of the commoner names have been taken, the baby girl ended up with J as her full name. In those days, the word J was also a slang term for prostitute, so the Christian name of Mary was added. In a team, she went to Canna Farm, which was located outside Manaton, which is where it's believed she became known as Kitty. Not long after that, she started to receive the attentions of the farmer's son and she fell pregnant. She was thrown out of the farm and left with a reputation. Kitty knew only too well that once word got around, she would never find employment in the area and that only the prospect of returning in disgrace to the poorhouse remained. Tragically, Kitty J took the only other option and was found hanging in one of the barns. That's terrible. The custom of the day was that any suicide could not be buried on consecrated grounds, as so they were interred at a crossroads, sometimes with a stake driven through their hearts. This was to ensure the restless soul of the departed could not return to haunt us God-fearing mortals. It said a dark figure can sometimes be seen kneeling beside the sad little mound with bowed head. Bowed head? With a bowed head and its face buried in its hands. Very interesting. The main phenomena associated with the grave of Kitty is the daily appearance of fresh flowers on the grave. Nobody is ever seen leaving them, but no matter what time of year, there are always flowers, posies, or greenery sat on the lonely mound. What an amazing little folklore tale to end the show on. I say, so thank you for sending that correspondence in, guys. If you've got some lovely stories or little tales or like local folk, can't speak, Kevin, you need to slap yourself in the grid, or local folklore stuff, then do send it in, yes. Contact at talkaboutghost.com and I will make sure I read it out. In the meantime and in between time, guys, thank you for being so lovely to download the show. I hope that this has freaked you out somewhat. And we will be back next week with a full and proper episode. There'll be a couple of we don't need to talk about throughout the week. I must reiterate, because we've had a few emails as well from people saying, can you get back to telling ghost stories, please? I'm not about this like reality TV program sort of stuff. It's like, it's not reality TV-esque. Sorry, guys. And I appreciate why you could imagine that if you subscribe and therefore these shows are downloaded into your feed. The ones midweek are just an attempt for us to do something and also just a bit of an added thing for people to listen to so they can get through this lockdown. They're not going to have ghost stories and that's why they're called We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. I completely get it if you're not into them because like I was saying to someone the other day, I mean, I love Brennan and Ian, for example, but if Brennan and Ian started doing a cookery show, I probably wouldn't listen to it because I want to listen to ghost stories. So I appreciate if you're not listening to them. The thing is, a lot of people are and they find them some comfort in them because of what's going on. So if you don't want to, you don't have to. You know, these are free. There's no, you don't have to listen to them. But yeah, I don't know what else I wanted to say about that really. But thank you for downloading this and do tune in next. Tune in, you can't, it's not a radio. Download it again next week and we'll have more scary stories. In the meantime and in between time, take care of yourselves and each other. I love you all very much and we will speak to you through the week if you listen to the We Don't Need To's. And if not, then I will see you next weekend. And for our Patreons, I will speak to you very shortly where I'll be reading more stories from the real ghost storybook. Okay, guys, catch you later. Tatty bye.